Hello and welcome to the Azeffan Named London Theatre Podcast for the 6th of May 2018. My name is T.R.P. Watson, and this time I'm joined by Gareth James, Webcow Girl, and Paul in London. We're now going to talk about The Writer at the Almeida. This is a new play by Ella Hickson, directed by Blanche McIntyre, with a design by Anna Fleischel. It stars Romola Garai, Michael Gould, Lara Rossi, and Samuel West. And on the face of it, about, well, what a female writer has to go through in the theatre and elsewhere, both in their private life and also in their public life, balancing between what they want to do and the expectations of others. We go from a debate between a student and a director. That debate is a play within a play, and that we get a discussion of that play. Then we move on to a more domestic scene where constantly there is this idea of the male director coming on and suggesting things that might be necessary for a female writer. And then we move on to a more imaginative, stranger scene. And then we will go on to another domestic scene where things have slightly changed and it seems a happier, more satisfying one until towards the end. Gareth, tell me more about this play and what you thought of it.
Well, it's difficult to say an awful lot without spoiling it. I mean, I think it's a kind of theatrical debate about our patriarchal society. And I think it's therefore sort of fairly timely and bang up to date. But it's obviously from the perspective of the writer, who is a character in the play. And it's quite Pirandellian in that sometimes scenes are, I mean, you think you're at something, but actually then you realise it's not what you thought it was. So as you say, there are six scenes. There's the sort of discussion between the theatre producer and the audience member. And then you've got the post-show Q&A. And then you've got the play scene between a couple, rather surreal scene for a play. And then a very domestic scene again at the end. And each part probably doesn't mean anything in itself, but when you add them all up together, I think it's actually quite a challenging, sometimes uncomfortable debate, really, about these issues over those six scenes, which are in two sort of unbroken hours, really. And as I said, it's hard to describe beyond that without actually spoiling it. The scene changes themselves are actually very gripping. The unpredictability of the piece is actually very gripping. So I actually found the whole 2 hours really quite rewarding. The performances are exceptional. Romola Garai has clearly got a passion for the subject, which comes through in a very passionate performance. Michael Gould is, in effect, can't be passionate. He's kind of role of a straight man, I guess. But I think he plays the director really well. And then the other two actors, Sam West and Lara Rossi, actually play more than one role each. And again, you can't sort of describe what those roles are without actually spoiling it. So I thought it was just very current in terms of the debate. And I thought, you know, this is what theatre can do. It can have a very powerful debate about a very current and very real issue. And I found it very compelling, sometimes very uncomfortable, particularly in the last scene. Some aspects of that are difficult to watch. But it's very challenging, very audacious, and very original. It's caused quite a lot of discussion off stage, as it were. Some people have embraced it, others, notably the Sunday Times, have been virtually vitriolic about it. And I think some of that response does follow the lines of the sex of the writer, really. But at least it's generated a debate, and that in itself, I think, is an achievement. So I found it a very rewarding piece of theatre. What did you think?
In that first scene, you get this wonderful idea of this woman challenging the patriarchal way that women have to write and are expected to write and are portrayed and are expected when they create characters, how those characters are supposed to be. And there's one very particular thing that gets a very big laugh every night, which is when the producer says, well, of course, women, they write characters that are far too self-involved and self-analytical and far too thoughtful, and that doesn't really do anything, on words to that effect. And it is met with a single word, which is Hamlet, because, of course, he pretty much defines what Hamlet is. So certainly that first scene, you could feel the electricity in the theatre of pretty much all the women just thinking, yes, 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 less, yes. And I had visions of one or two of the bloggers I know. There's a strong risk that they would actually get up on the stage and cheer. And we get some very interesting ideas after that. And one of the things that came through for me with this play is that I felt it a very accurate version of the way that women are treated. You could see the point she was making, and that sort of not being able to speak against it didn't feel contrived. It wasn't like she was neglecting other evidence. It did feel very real, and you could see the problems and perhaps a glimpse of solutions to it, which I found very interesting. But there are one or two risky things that she takes, because you actually get, as you say, the Pirandello-like things where people come in and criticise plays, and actually you get a scene with the writer and the director talking about it, and they actually critique the previous scene and say, I know you don't like that, but I don't care. I thought it was brilliant. Well, I just felt that that is a risky thing to do. I think they pretty much pulled it off, but it's always a bit of a risk for a writer to go back and criticize their own work. And I was a bit worried there, but I think they pulled it off. There is also a motif which we keep getting, which I found interesting, of this baby is constantly brought on, usually by the director, as if to say, a woman must always talk about being a mother, and that's almost what defines her. You know, her relationship is defined by what she is with a man. We get that scene with the writer in Roma Garai and her partner or husband, where it is all about him, and you know, it is very clear the way that he is immensely selfish towards her. And again, you're not feeling that it's, I often get criticized for saying things are very one-sided. Well, I didn't find this one-sided. I found I was on side, and I didn't have too many criticisms that they weren't looking at both sides of the argument. But for me, in the end, although there were many flashes of incredibly impressive stuff here, I was dissatisfied with it. Ella Hickson previously wrote Oil at the Almeida, and I wasn't very happy with that play either. So I'm not sure I'm quite on board with her as a great writer yet. There is a scene in the last, I mean, pretty much the last 5 minutes of the play, and we don't want to give that away, but there is a scene which, for me, kind of summed up the play. It seems to be very exciting at the start, and then you think, yeah, well, perhaps it is very good and everybody's having fun, and then, oh no, everybody's slightly disappointed, and I think they may have wrecked their relationship. So that's kind of what the play was like for me. It was very exciting at the start, and I thought I was having fun, and then in the end I just thought, well, yeah, I'm not sure. And it's a bit of a pity there, but that's just me. After recording a couple of men mansplaining the writer, we were fortunate to get Web Cowgirl to talk about it. I should warn people that she does use some rather rich language. I think I've caught most of the Fs, but I might have missed a few of the Jeffs. Enjoy. So, Web Cowgirl, what did you think about it?
I felt that seeing the writer from my point of view as a woman was quite interesting, although not nearly as interesting as seeing the play from my point of view as a writer, because I feel the play has a lot more to say about being a writer than it does about being a woman, at least after about the middle bit. I was encouraged to see it by a bunch of reviews that were very positive and said that they really didn't want to give any spoilers. I'm not going to hesitate to give spoilers tonight, because I think that it's been on long enough. I felt this play was self-conscious of its existence as a play being written at this moment in time, and of who its audience was likely to be, and of the fact that it was a play, to such an extent that I felt it was ruined as an evening, and fortunately is pinned like a living butterfly to its moment in history so effectively that this play will never fly again. Right now, when we are so conscious of the experiences that women have that make their professional and sometimes personal lives such a struggle, with having men talk over them, with being reduced to the value of their prettiness, with their ability to, I don't know, have relationships that are actually based on equality, was almost the primary reason for the existence of this play. It starts out so strongly with an incredible scene with a young woman who is apparently a writer confronting a director with the raw sexism, the unapologetic male point of view that he has turned on the stage, and calling him out for it in just an incredibly engaging and powerful, I don't know, was it 20 minutes of us watching these people spar and fight? But toward the end of that scene, when it comes out that the woman has stopped writing theater because she doesn't feel that relying on, say, a theater like the Almeida, because it seems really implicit that it's this kind of house that she would have been writing for, that she stopped writing because she couldn't get something on there and it couldn't be authentic and real. And when she said that, suddenly it was like this noxious gas had wafted into the auditorium with something that was so profoundly unrealistic being said that I just thought was such absolute bollocks. I wanted to jump out of my seat and say, that's bullshit, just in the way she had confronted the director and told him that his whole approach to making theater was bullshit, and indeed the entire way that people make theater these days was absolutely bullshit. All of that conversation was so insanely realistic and completely believable, in part because the way that they set it up was people walking in through the wings and sitting on the edge of the seat, and it was being done as if it was just natural. Like, the naturalism was so overwhelming that when she said it was impossible to make theater because you had male directors running the Almeida making decisions about what was going to get on, and all they were concerned about was bums and seats, it was just a very, 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 very long diatribe. And I just thought, woman, you can put a show together in your goddamn backyard with your friends if you are that dedicated to theater. There are a million spaces all over London. You can make theater happen, and audiences will come and see your show. And the only thing holding you back is that you're a character that was written by somebody who is getting on at these great big stages and may not have a fucking clue that there is an entire other ecology of theater going on outside of what you as a character are talking about as the only theater that is going on and thus worthy of rejection. Is because, much like the director of this play, you haven't taken your head out of your bum and had a little look over the parapet to see what else is going on. I kind of lost a lot of my engagement at the play at this point in time and never really had it come back, and it got worse. The positive parts are the fact that the play flips around this question of, are you watching a play? Are you watching somebody's life? How real is what you're seeing? Are you watching a bit of dialogue that the writer is exploring in her mind? Is every time this thing scene shifts, and it does it super consciously and super visibly to the audience so that you're having to question what it is you're watching, you don't know if you're watching something that you're supposed to believe is real, or if you're something watching something, you know, it turns out that the whole first scene is actually a bit of performance that was, it was a staged reading. And it makes you question throughout the rest of the play whether what you're actually seeing is real or imaginary. And I really liked that. However, the two most realistic scenes that happened in the rest of the play, which is the scene with the writer and her boyfriend, and then later the scene with the writer and her girlfriend, they seemed like real things happening. So I lost my point of view standing away. Like, you know, I was lost in the story as opposed to, you know, focusing on the fact that, oh, I'm watching a play in a room with other people. When she had the scene with her boyfriend, which I think was a fairly nicely written exploration of people struggling. Well, you know, when she slams her interest in having sex with him, the repercussions of that I thought were pretty realistic. And the way that he blew up when she talked about, you know, basically forcing herself to have sex with him and how boring it was for her, you know, that felt really honest. But in the scene with the boyfriend, she has a long conversation about how it is to be a writer and how it affects her ability to move through the world and operate as a real person. Now, the kind of part of that conversation that feels very zeitgeisty is the man is kind of offended that his partner is running off and having to go scribble things down at 2 or 3 in the morning, and he just wants her to be normal. Now, that did feel like the man shutting the woman down and, you know, not supporting her. But when she talked about what it was like to be a writer, and I was sitting there as a writer listening to her, and I was listening to the author trying to peddle this version of what it is to be a writer to the audience as the authentic thing, I found it kind of insulting to all of the people out there who write and to their dedication. What I heard was the voice of a very middle-class person who believes that they really, really need to struggle if they're really going to be an artist, and they need to be very tortured, and that this is what being a writer is like being really tortured and not understanding how other people are. But I believe that this character was actually mentally unwell, and that her life as a writer was hampered not by men, but by her ridiculous romantic attachment to what being a writer is supposed to be like, as opposed to the actual facts of what it's like to write, which is you make yourself do it. You don't sit around and wait until this absolutely right moment is happening. You go, I have work to do. I need to get on with it. But she needs to struggle, and she needs to feel pain, and she needs to be coddled. And all of it just was insulting to writers everywhere. And I stepped further back from the play during that scene, because once again, I wanted to stand up and tell her to get her f-ing head out of her ass. So made me so aggravated. But fortunately, something happened afterwards, which is that the play took a complete left turn into a sort of a fantasy land, and I hadn't seen something almost literally lose the plot, get derailed so strongly since I saw The Simpsons in this very same theater. And I thought, is there just something about the Almeida that they'd like to feel like they're pushing the audience so far that maybe they think it's being really edgy? But in fact, I just felt it was completely self-indulgent. The character went into some kind of journey into like the land of fantasy or something, where she was, I don't know, dancing with naiads led by Semele. All of the scenery went away, and we just had some lights being drawn on the stage, and she kind of had some sort of a mystic communion with having sex with someone who was just like her, and this was supposed to be really changing or something. And maybe it was all just a device being used by the author. It was just supposed to be something that was in the play that she was going to be talking about with the director. But you know what? I got bored. It went on too long. I didn't care. I checked out, and I never came back. And in the final scenes where she has a girlfriend, and she has money, and she seems to be very, very sordid, and she's become, I don't want to say a man, but an asshole, I didn't care anymore about any of these people. I didn't care about her writing process. I didn't believe in anything that was going on stage. I didn't believe the sex that I was seeing happen on stage, not just because I could see their feet and I knew that they weren't actually doing anything on the couch, but because what they were doing with it was inappropriate. But in both of the sex scenes in the play, there is no concern taken to the care or interest or engagement of the person on the bottom. And I just thought, wow, this play is so caught up in being engaged in what's going on now that it's forgot to actually be an interesting play. And maybe the author thinks that she's creating a play that addresses all of those problems that the angry person, the angry woman, is talking about in the very first scene. But unfortunately, in doing that, she's created what I would consider not a particularly great work of theater. I went and saw it because I, too, like to be a part of the zeitgeist. But, you know, if you aren't the kind of person who needs to be a part of the zeitgeist, I'm sure there's a million other plays you could see that are actually much more interesting and provide a better return on your 2 hours of not being allowed to go to the loo. That's me. I'm bitter.
We're now going to talk about Nightfall at the Bridge Theatre. This is a new play by Barney Norris, directed by Laurie Sampson, with a design by Ray Smith. It stars Ophelia Lovibond as Lou, Coeli Roach as Pete, Claire Skinner as Jenny, and Sion Daniel Young as Ryan. I think we are back in what might be called Luke Norris territory. We are in rural Hampshire on a farm not far outside of Southampton. Barney Norris got people excited over at least his last two plays, The Visitors, which was done at the Arcola to great acclaim, I think transferred into the West End briefly. And then he also did Eventide at the Arcola Theatre, as well as touring, I think, elsewhere. And again, the play set in rural Hampshire and dealing with love and loss and kind of the quieter emotions. And I think what he's done here is produce a slightly larger play. Gareth, tell me more about this play and what you thought about it.
When I saw that they booked this into the new Bridge Theatre, I was a little bit concerned because I've seen three of his plays before and they've all been in much smaller spaces. The Visitors at the Arcola wasn't even in the main space, it was in the small space. And Eventide in the Arcola was also in the small space. And Wish You Were Here was in the small space of the Bush, not even in the main Bush Theatre. So that they're chamber pieces, four actors or something like that in every case, I think two in one case. And they are kind of, he's got this kind of style, which I think is sort of wistful charm with some poignancy. Some people have said Chekhovian, but I won't say that because I don't like Chekhov and I do like Paul Norris. But I do like his work very much. I've enjoyed the previous three things. I was a bit nervous that scaling it up to something as big as The Bridge, because none of them have gone that big. I think that The Visitors didn't actually go into the West End, it went to the Bush main house. So none of them have gone into a space anything like this big. And I have to say, halfway through, I still wasn't convinced that, you know, this play was going to survive its scaling up, because I felt the first half of the play hadn't kind of grabbed me like that, hadn't drawn me in and grabbed me like that. As you say, you know, like all his work, we're in rural southern England, and this time we're on a Hampshire farm. And again, we're talking grief, because it's 2 years since her husband's illness and subsequent death for Jenny, and her son Ryan and her daughter Lou have been contending with that grief. And Lou's boyfriend, and who's also Ryan's best friend, Pete, was involved with Ryan in a drunken incident before the father died, which resulted in Pete's imprisonment. So Peter's now come out of prison, and he split from Lou during that period of time. So he's now Pete's best friend, but no longer Lou's boyfriend. The farm which Ryan has taken over from the father is deep in debt. Ryan and Pete have taken quite a big risk by siphoning off oil from the pipeline that's running through the farm, which I thought was a touch implausible. But Pete is someone who works in oil refining, as it were. So they're all kind of grieving in different ways, really. But then in the second half, quite a lot actually begins to happen. And people start playing games with one another. So we learn that both Jenny, the mother, and Ryan knew more about Pete's fate than we thought that they knew. Lou and Pete actually do rekindle their relationship. Jenny does lots of things to try and keep the family together, but some of that actually backfires. And then there's an ambiguity about Ryan's friendship with Pete, or from at least from his perspective as well. So it's quite an interesting cocktail and becomes a kind of interesting family saga in that second half. It is quite an extraordinary design for The Bridge. Ray Smith's actually got a pipeline running right across with a big backdrop of sky, and we're out of doors, so we see the edge of a house, and then we're in a garden, so we have sort of grass, and we have a tractor and a skip and all sorts of things on there. And I think it's probably the first time I've ever seen actual bricklaying on stage, so that was a thrill as well, really. The four performances are all very good. Claire Skinner plays the mum. She's a great actress, and she does this very well. Ophelia Lovibond as Lou, I thought, was very good. And I thought Ukwelie Roach as Pete was also very good. For me, the standout performance was Sean Daniel Young as Ryan. I thought he was absolutely excellent. And he has a lot to contend with, and the character has a lot to contend with. And therefore, I think it's quite a complex and quite difficult role. And Laurie Sampson, I think, has done a great job of staging it, really. So in the end, I felt he had survived the scale-up. And although I had some qualms about the first half, I did leave the theatre feeling satisfied and somewhat pleased that it hadn't fallen flat on its face, as I thought it might have done, really. So another recommendation from me.
Yes, I wasn't quite so happy with this play. I thought that the first half was really rather dull and really rather overlong, and nothing really happened. It was laying about a lot of the relationships, and okay, that is important work, but it failed to capture your interest. And it's one or two cases where you kind of expected there to be some great fireworks in a scene and nothing happened. Well, something happened, but not the fireworks you're expecting, particularly when Lou suddenly demands to speak to Pete alone early on in the play, and we're expecting a big fight, and actually they just make up and get engaged, and you think, well, oh, was that it? And all the meat of this play comes in the last scene. And I thought, well, actually, that's what this play should have been. It should simply have been almost just that last scene. I think you could have done a bit before, make it a party and make all the tensions there and have everything coming out in that party and everything coming out in 90 minutes instead of 2 hours plus an interval. And that, I think, would have been very much stronger. I mean, it was actually something where my latent dramaturgy kicked in, and I just had to say that in a tweet, because the dullness of that first half, and although, yes, they are conveying important information in it, and we are getting and we are understanding the relationships, it's really that final scene where everything kicks off and everything is really a big fight and all the tensions sort of get exploded. And I think that it could have been done almost in real time, where they are saying goodbye to Pete and Lou as they're hoping to leave the farm, and really getting that fight, that tension bubbling over, concentrating it a lot more, because I think you needed to do that. I didn't think you really needed the breaks in time between the scenes, particularly the whole thing of the pipeline is something that you can say, well, you don't actually need to see them preparing to steal oil from the pipeline. And again, I agree with you, it's a bit of a strange thing to try to do. And somehow doubted that that's actually how it could have worked. And there was a bit too much build-up of that, because you don't need that build-up. You only need to say the problems that having it and having it already there create. And I couldn't help feeling that, because I felt that that last scene, which is very powerful and sort of it's in the second half indeed, is much stronger and a lot much more powerful than the first half, I really wished that it was all that second half, you know, the whole play. And we did get one or two walkouts, not that many, not as many as we've had, but, you know, there were one or two people who didn't come back for the second half because it just was too punishing, that first half of it. And it's a bit of a pity. I'm probably in a minority on feeling this, but I was, you know, in the end disappointed, not for the second half, but because that first half is so, you know, I just found it so dull. We're now going to talk about Mormaid at the Arcola Theatre. This is a new play by Marion Bott, directed by Zois Pigardas. It stars Sarah Alves, Mo Bar-El-Mehdi, and Ali Azhar Khan. The play is set in Berlin. We have an art teacher called Melissa. She is, according to the thing, about to do something drastic. This may be because she is dissatisfied with her life as a teacher instead of being an artist, and breaks up of various relationships. Into her apartment comes an ex-pupil called Mehdi. He is escaping something. As he is a young Muslim man, you can probably see that it's some kind of jihadist adventure that he has been on. He is haunted by his best friend, who has almost certainly died, and possibly died as a result of Mehdi's cowardice, or his leaving his best friend behind. And we get a lot of investigation into his motivations and the way that he has sort of become this sort of radical, has become radicalized, and how he felt being, well, on the front, not necessarily on the front line, but feeling the power of being a strong Muslim young man. But then the eventual breakdown of that and getting him to where he is, this relatively scared young man haunted by his dead best friend. And the play deals a lot with talking about that kind of relationship he has with his best friend, but of course also it talks about, obviously, Melissa the teacher and Mehdi have had a slightly flirtatious relationship in the past, and she maybe showed an interest in him beyond student teacher when he was a student. And they begin to rekindle it and also begin to paint together. He wants to learn a little bit more about painting and sort of almost a therapy through painting. So we get quite a lot of that idea. This play is, I think, very well done. It's very stylized. We get a lot of quiet, choreographed movement together, as well as this portrait of this young jihadist boy. We get an awful lot of that, and I thought it was done very well. What I found the most difficult in this play, and actually
fiercely objected to it in parts, is I felt watching it I had been missold on this play. It's called Moor Maid. It's supposed to be about a woman. All the advertising is the picture of the only actress in this play. And, you know, we see her at first as this unhappy woman who is on the verge of suicide, is obviously drinking heavily and has totally lost her art. And, you know, it is the intervention of this young boy who she helps teach to paint and also has a brief affair with. And that seems to totally to cure her. And I felt that if that was written by a man, it wouldn't have got put on by the Arcola. And if it was put on anywhere else, everybody would be objecting to it because she's almost irrelevant in this play. And I felt I was being missold that because I thought it was going to be about her. And the play kind of still thinks it's about her, although she spends an awful lot of time off stage while you have this young jihadist boy trying to work out his demons. And there's very little of her working out her demons and very little about what got her to the place that she is. And I never really felt that I understood her, and I actually wanted to understand her a lot more than yet another story about a jihadist. I mean, we get a lot of those, and they are good, and it's, you know, it's not to say that this isn't very well done, because it is very well done, I thought, but I just felt I was being missold it. I felt I had been fooled into, you know, I wanted some one thing, and they decided to give me something else and pretend that they've given me what I thought I was going to get. And it made me disappointed in that, and that's a bit of a pity, because I think most of the other people who aren't sensitive to this sort of thing, aren't so worried about this, have been very positive about this play, and said, you know, what a good effort it is, and how well it's put together and run. What did you think about it, Paul?
Well, thanks, Tim. Yes, and actually I was intrigued by some of the reviews from this, because I actually caught this after press night, and the thing that struck me about this was how... Well, first of all, the Arcola is brilliant at, you know, introducing pieces of new writing, particularly with this sort of spin around issues that are affecting the Middle East. And possibly it's part of the references to, you know, the traditional community that's, you know, lived in Dalston for some time. I think, you know, the Arcola is a safe pair of hands if you want to go see some new writing, because they've, you know, it's usually going to be pretty good no matter what when you go there. But this one in particular that struck me was this strong performances, particularly by Mo Barrell. And, you know, I had to actually look up his bio afterwards, because actually he dominates this piece in a way that maybe even the writers and creators didn't actually envisage from the outset. He's such a strong actor, I think. And, you know, once he's on stage, he's both got a very strong physical presence, but the way he's actually interpreted the character makes it feel like he is the central character of the piece in many respects. Well, that being said, the writer Marion Botch, you know, she drew inspiration for this piece when she discovered that two of her old classmates had traveled to Syria to fight for IS and didn't come back. So part of this work is to sort of explore that. But actually, one of the things that I found in this piece, though, was that constantly you were drawn to Mo Barrell's performance, because he actually, you know, is so central to the piece, but he also creates something, you know, more out of it just through the strength of his interpretation of the character. That being said, I really like Sarah Allais as well. I hope that's the correct pronunciation of her name. She's also making her UK theatrical debut. Mo Barrell's making his professional theatre debut. He's done a lot of television and film, but, you know, I think she probably has the less developed character in the end, because while it starts with her and it's focused about her, and essentially it's the impact of this character on her life as the story, you just feel that actually so much of the piece is really drawn to the Mo Barrell's character, Mady, that in some ways she feels secondary to that. And I can see then why people have critiqued it as such, saying that there's quite a few bits that the messaging coming across about this man that enters her life and making her fulfilled, I could imagine why and appreciate why people object to that. But I suspect that's probably not what the intention of the play was to be. And I think it's more about how people, through chance encounters, can make a positive impact on your lives and take you back from the brink. And actually, I think that for me was why I really enjoyed this piece, because actually it was taking a topical subject and then giving it a much more humanist reading and viewpoint on life. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a terrific show, and it doesn't seem to be getting the audiences it deserves.
You can find us at AYULTP on Twitter, on the as yet unnamed London Theatre Podcast page on Facebook, on the web we are AYULTP.com. The podcast can also be found on both iTunes and Stitcher, where you can leave a review. Thank you, goodbye.